Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin. Today is August 2nd, 2022, and we're here with our panel to continue with this discussion of the Word of God. Last week we started talking about the Sabbath rest. Now we've been getting a little feedback. We've been going through the book of Hebrews to get an understanding of what it is that God is revealing to the church and what it is that Paul was trying to teach these Christians who had come out of the religion of Judaism. And today we correlate it with when we come out of the world of the culture of religion, the world system, when we give our lives to Christ. You know, before we get saved, some of us were very religious. How many of y'all can attest to that? Before you were a Christian, you were religious.
Amen.
And what we mean by religious, you were in church and you were clubbing and you were you be up there on Sunday morning on the choir stand. Y'all remember?
Yep.
So Amen. That was religion. That was religion and not relationship. And we got a misunderstanding of what. See, the waters were muddied on who the Jehovah God, who God really is, because people were seeing two different sides. They're like, wait a minute, I saw them and they acted this way and they did, but then I saw them in church. And so people get salvation mixed up with religious works and activities. And the church is not the door of salvation, although it is right and it is good to go to church, because they're going to start pulling out some stones saying, I've been teaching not to go to church. I am not saying that. Remember, church is not a building. It's an individual. It's a living organism. We are the church. Remember, we're the temple. So when a group of people who have given their lives to Christ through faith in his atonement, and they gather to study the word of God, and he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, tonight it constitutes what? Church. We have more than two or three, right? And he said he'd be in the midst. That's church. When we come together, blood-bought saints, in his name, based upon what he's accomplished on our behalf at Calvary, exhibiting faith to study, to know how to grow and to progress in what God requires, that is church. Okay? We're not talking about denominationalism. We're not talking about organized religion. We're talking about where people gather, and they may be in a building. They may be on a online. They may be on the radio. It doesn't matter. The point is, they can be all over the world, but when individuals come together corporately, that is considered, it's a church, okay? So I'm a church individually, but when we come together corporately, we are the body of Christ, amen?
Amen.
All right, so we were talking about Sabbath rest in Hebrews chapter 3. Now, just to recap, we saw that Paul was trying to get these Hebrew Christians, encouraging them to continue with Christ, not go back to religious works and activities, not to go back to tradition of Judaism. They were being persecuted. A lot of times we want relief. See, we want relief and we don't want deliverance. When things start, we have to understand the Christian life is not about being exempt from problems. We're all going to experience problems just like the sinner or when we were sinners or whatever. Nobody's exempt. But the difference is that in our problems, the Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. See, God uses the circumstance and the problems to develop us, okay? He makes a way where we can handle it. And the whole point and purpose of tribulations and trials is going to work patience. And what patience does in the Bible says it gives you the constancy to stand under the weight of a trial until God produces tried and approved character. This is what God wants. He wants his life to be expressed in and through us. And we've often said that. In the book of Genesis, God's intent, he had to use redemption because of what Satan did in usurping man's authority. Okay? Satan came in. God's intent from the beginning was to impart life. Man was supposed to partake of the tree of life after he was created in the image of God. God was going to fill man. First thing God told man was not to do, but to eat. And he gave them a choice. See, God has not made us robots. He made us where we have a free will and we make a choice. Okay, but Satan, through deception, came in to override man's choice and cause man to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What did that portray? That portrayed that man became independent of God. He wanted a way to be wise and like God, but independent of God. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we've lived our lives from the fall of man throughout history. And there are some Christians that live, still living independent of God. Even though we're saved, we're still living, making our own decision, instead of us allowing the Spirit of God, which imparts life, which is a picture of the tree of life, to give us life, and it's Christ's life, okay? We can't live. God never demanded that we live this Christian life. The commandments, or even what he required in the New Testament, he never put that demand on you and I, per se, okay? The demand is on he that's in you and I, the Spirit of God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit, which is the third part of the triune God, comes into me. I may not feel it. I may not seem like he's there, but when I sincerely give my life to Christ, he comes into me, and he is ready to impart life as I yield and submit and rest in Christ, okay? So what happens is what God, his original intent, it still stands. His purposes still stand. But God has to find individuals who are willing, after upon salvation or after they're giving their lives to Christ, who are willing to let his purposes be fulfilled in their life and not their own. We're not fighting to get our will. And this was the problem with the Israelites who were in the wilderness, who left Egypt, and they wandered in a wilderness for 40 years. See? They wandered because they never allowed this life. See, we have to partake of Christ when he said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. This is how we get the life. We have to learn to rest in that. They could never rest in what God provided. See this? And we read in Hebrews how we have to be partners or partakers with Christ or of Christ. And that word partaker had two meanings. In one verse, it meant to enjoy as eating a meal. And then in the other verse, it meant that you had to first partake, enjoy of the meal before you could be a partner with Christ to enter into the land, okay? So what we're saying here, we have to learn to enjoy Christ in different aspects of our Christian experience, okay? The way we see this in the book of Exodus, when they we're getting ready to leave Egypt. Remember, the trials got hard. The confrontation between God and Pharaoh caused the workload of the Israelites to become heavier. That was not the time to give up. And many of us cry for relief, throw our hands up. And this is what these Hebrew Christians were doing. The trials get heavier. Why? Because of the mention of freedom. Moses approached Pharaoh and said, let my people go. It rattled Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Satan will not let us go easily, okay? Pharaoh, which is a type of Satan, will not just let you walk away. He's going to try to do everything in his power to sift you, to cause you to be shaken in faith, to overthrow your faith and my faith. You see this? Everyone that followed Christ or followed God from the Old Testament to the New had encountered different things. And what mattered was how you enjoyed Christ that helped you to progress through it. So there were two different types of people in the wilderness that came out of Egypt. There was, if you read in the scriptures, and we don't have time because we only have an hour, so I'm mentioning these things for you to go back and read and you can study it for yourself. But there was the house of Jacob and the house of Israel. And if you were of the house of Jacob, when God mentioned the name called Israel Jacob, it meant that they were in the flesh. When he called them Israel, they were walking in obedience to his way, prince with God and man. Okay? So these people that did not enjoy Christ were of the house of Jacob. They murmured. Everything God did, they had something to say about it. They put God on trial. These folks were overthrown in the wilderness, saved, but they never overcame. See this? They were not overcomers. And this is what we're looking at in the book of Hebrews. God wants the Christian to learn to overcome, not to cave in fear and doubt. You know, it's okay. We initially, when we're walking this Christian walk, especially when we first start, we're going to be shaken. You know, we're going to, things are going to look a little cloudy, even later on. But I cannot walk or continue to walk in unbelief. Remember, the first thing God told them in Egypt was if they were going to go out, they had to partake of the Passover. And they put the blood on the doorpost, and they had to go in and had to eat the lamb or whatever it was in the unleavened bread, right? Mm-hmm. When they did this, he said, whoever is in the house with the blood applied, the death angel will pass over you. In other words, those folks weren't walking in perfection. They weren't holy. They doubted. They feared. But they had the faith of the size of a mustard seed enough to cause them to go into the house, apply the blood, and go into the house. He did the same with Rahab, the prostitute. You see, when God sees faith, he's not concerned about your external sin and what you didn't do. But when faith is, when you're drawn by faith in the living God, through what Christ has done, God will make provision. He will make a way. And he caused those 12 spies to specifically go into Jericho before they were ousted and overthrown and get the one lady who exhibited faith. And she was a prostitute. You see this? And he said, they told him, if you put a scarlet rope out the window, that you and all those that are in the house shall be saved. What are we saying? If the blood is applied to your heart, you and I don't have to be perfect. We can't be perfect. We can't say, oh, I got to wait till I stop doing this. You would never stop. But what we can do is say, Lord, I'm responding by faith in the blood. And when God saw the scarlet rope and he saw the blood applied, he brought about deliverance for Rahab and her whole household. Okay?
Amen.
And I think Christ was of her lineage, right? And so let me, so we're going to go back here. Amen. So I want you to see, it's never about what we do. It's about us yielding and allowing God to do in us. This is the biggest problem with us.
Yes.
We don't want to yield. We want our way. We want to give him a piece of our mind. But God's saying you have to find rest for your souls, for your spirit. And when you find rest in Christ, then the church life, the life of the Spirit of God that causes us to stand in the power of his might will be able to flow through us, body, soul, and spirit, because all of that was affected by the fall. And so God has to correct and perfect that those areas of our heart and life, our mind, our thinking. We read last week in 2 Corinthians 10 that he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, these things are in our mind, our soulish part, our mind, our will, our emotions. Those things are, they need to be aligned or in subjection to the spirit. And the soulish part of us is in the way of the spirit of God, the spirit man, or the Holy Spirit speaking to our human spirit. The soul, see, there has to be a divide, because the spirit part of us is that part where God communes with us and fellowships with us. This is the part where he tells us through conviction and through our conscience what the will of God is. But if I'm so wrapped up in my emotions and my biases and my opinions, God can never break through to get, y'all see what I'm saying, so that the life of the spirit can penetrate all those areas, the body, soul, and the spirit. So he's teaching us. He has to permeate. So when I receive the Holy, when I receive Christ as my personal Savior, I'm equipped, see? I am qualified to be changed.
Yes.
I am qualified. How many continue to let this process take place? Very few. They're saved, and this is what we're seeing with these wilderness saints. But they wandered in the soul of their mind. They were wandering in the soulish part. They wouldn't go over and let the Spirit of God break through to their spirit, their body, their spirit, soul, and their body, to align it to the will and the way of God. They wouldn't trust by faith, so they wanted this wandering in the wilderness was a wandering in the soulish part, in their emotions, in their mindset, and in their will. They couldn't cross over into Canaan. So God said, I swore, and we're going to pick up here in chapter 3 of Hebrews. Any questions before we go further?
So they stayed in their mind. They didn't get into the spirit of the Lord.
Right. They would not allow themselves to cross over where God could commune with their spirit, because their soulish part, which is a part, the mind is a part of the soul, was they wandered there. They couldn't get past the mind. This is why he says casting down the imagination. It was in the way. This is why we have to let God cast down our mindset, our tradition, our upbringing, our biases, our worldview. See, we have to have a biblical and Christian worldview on everything. We have to have a living relationship with God when we read the scriptures. If I read it through the law of the letter, then it's not going to become spirit and life. But when I'm active in my walk and my relationship with God, then the words become spirit and life. So we're going to see here, he's going to tell us the same word was preached to them that's preached to us. And he's going to tell us the reason why they couldn't enter in with the same word that's being preached to us today that was preached to them then. Okay? And we're going to see this. Let's start at, and I'm just going up here in chapter 3 to recap, read those scriptures, and we're going to go into chapter 4. Let's start at verse 15. Chapter 3.
While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard this, provoked, how about not all that came out of Egypt by Moses?
Okay, now I'm going to read some notes with it so we can get understanding. It says, Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he did not bring them into the good land of Canaan. So it was his successor, Joshua, who did this. Okay? So Joshua, and Joshua in this scenario is a type of Christ. And his name means the same in the Hebrew as Jesus, which means the salvation of Jehovah. Okay? Let's keep going.
But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not?
Okay, so he's talking about these wilderness Christians, and now remember, he's comparing. There's a reason why he's bringing it up here. It's because he's comparing the Christians who were brought out of Judaism to this experience in the wilderness. Why was he saying? He's talking to believers. So the people in Egypt who wandered were God's people. They were saved. They partook of the Passover. They partook of the manna. They drank from the rock, which was Christ, the spiritual rock. And so you see, God provided Christ, but they were bitter. They murmured. So the wilderness revealed what was in their hearts. But although they murmured, it kept them from entering into God's rest. Remember, they were wandering in their mind. They kept saying, in Egypt, we had melon, we had fish, we had cucumbers and leeks and garlic and onions. Okay? But they weren't mindful of the slavery God delivered them from. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They were more focused on what they had. And so that shows you that their mind, they were not willing to be transformed in their mind. Now, remember, Moses was at Mount Horeb when he saw the bush on fire and not consumed. And God told him that he would bring his people back to the mountain, and they will worship him there, okay? Moses' experience with God was not bitter because he had an encounter that infused him, just like the tree and the bush being on fire but not consumed. It was God. He was the all-consuming fire, meaning that he will be in us, because the wood or the tree is a type of humanity. But the fire on the fire not consuming it means the Spirit of God in us. He's not going to consume us, but he will keep us on fire with the things of God. This is the same way he was going to use Moses. Us in the hands of God by the Spirit of God in us. See, he never required Moses in the energy of his own power and strength to deliver Israel. Moses tried it, remember? He saw his brethren when he was the prince of Egypt. He walked and he saw the hardship of his people, the Israelites, and he had pity and he realized he was going to be a deliverer. But not being transformed by God and not having an encounter and understanding his ways, he tried in the energy of his own efforts and strength to deliver Israel. Right? Y'all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the book of Exodus. And when he tried, what happened? He killed a man. This is what the flesh does. When we're in the energy of our own strength trying to live for God, we kill people. We hurt people. See what I'm saying? We have to let God deliver us. We have to let God transform us. Because remember, God wasn't just trying to take them out of slavery. What was the purpose of God delivering them? Anybody
remember? To bring them into freedom, to bring them into the land of milk and honey, to give them a relationship with him.
Yes, he said 3 days to worship him. Remember, three day journey to go out so that they may worship him. So it wasn't just about being delivered from their hardship. And many of us find ourselves fighting to deliver people from their hardship, but we ain't bringing about no relationship with God. You see how important this is? We over here fighting, oh, I got to make sure the church is right and they ain't doing this. But we got to understand that this deliverance is not just to deliver people from their hardship. We gotta get people to Christ. They see this is the whole point and purpose. They gotta get into relationship. That's God's whole purpose. He walked with Adam in the cool of the morning before the fall. And then one day after the fall, he says, "Adam, where are you?" Adam was hiding. This is what sin does. It separates us. It causes us to run from God. So God wants to get back to the original intent and purpose. See, the usurpation of Satan over the fall over man, when he caused mankind to fall, God used redemption to bring man back to his original standing. And his original standing was that, see, God's purpose has to be fulfilled, which was he was satisfied when he created man and woman, and he said, "This is very good." He was satisfied, and he rested. See this? Talking about this Sabbath rest. He rested. So God rested when man was in his image and ready to be for his life to be imparted into him, the life of God to be imparted to him by choosing the right tree. That was God's purpose. Now, Satan came in. It never stopped God's purpose. God's still after his purpose. God still wants a man or woman in his image. And the way we come to that image is through Christ. Remember, no man could, there's nobody perfect. No, not one. There's none perfect. No man, every man in the Bible had their flaws and their faults. I don't care who's the greatest one. We look at Moses. Look at Noah. Noah was a drunk. Remember, he got drunk. Lot messed up. If we can go down the list. David messed up. Solomon messed up. Great men used by God, but none were perfect. But whom?
Amen. Christ.
Christ, see? So this was the plan of God before the foundation of the world. Christ said, "Father, prepare me a body." Because God knew that there was none due to the fall that could fulfill or God's will and purpose in the earth and express God and his authority other than Christ. Okay? So this is the whole point of us. So when we come to Christ, guess what? God was satisfied with Christ. He was the propitiation, satisfaction of God. So when I exhibit faith in Christ through what he's done, God's satisfied with me. I rest in him. What he, and this is how I am imparted the life of Christ. This is the church. See this? Christ has to be the head. This is the body of Christ. So we all operate together. You know, this is how else could we have it? We got people calling from Detroit and from North Carolina, South Carolina, New Jersey. Y'all see what I'm saying? How else could God just take different people? And there's many more. When we go on Facebook, they're all in other countries. How can God do that? And we not know each other, don't know anybody that know any of us and connect us.
Amen.
It's the Spirit of God. When we are walking in alignment with the will of God based upon faith in the cross, he is the one that connects. Remember? Yeah. The body is connected. The arms, the ears, the head, the eye, all of it. We all serve a necessary role. Every part is important. And when you come to know Christ, you'll walk in what he's called you and I. We won't be in church fighting for a position.
Right.
We all won't be trying to fight for the same role and get a title and a position. The life of Christ will so infuse us, just like he infused Christ when he walked there. The Spirit of God infused Christ in the earth. He infused Moses. That Moses, when he was in the presence of God, he came out of the presence and his face glowed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Adam, and when he walked with God, he and Eve were actually naked, but because of the glory in the presence of God, they couldn't see. They were in swath with light, his glory. So when his glory, when they fell, they could see each other that they were naked. See this?
Amen.
God wants us so, you know, if we stand out in the, if we stand out, y'all ever been out, you stand out in the sun for a while and you come in and your clothes, you can feel the heat from your clothes.
Yep.
This is how God, he wants us close to him, that his presence emanate from our very being. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That we stand in his presence and we have the glow, we have the fire. That others can feel it and see it. And this is what God wants. This is what salvation is about. It's not about the titles and the positions and the robes and the whatever. See? This is about us being who God called us to be.
Amen.
And so these Christians here that were in the wilderness, he said, with whom, verse 17, was he displeased for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest? Except to the disobedience. The disobedient. Now, understand this. His rest is found only in Christ. God is satisfied with Christ. So when is he satisfied with me?
When I'm in Christ.
Amen. And as a Christian, now these were saved folks. Remember, they were saved out of Egypt. They partook of the Passover meal. They were with Moses and all the rest of them. So when, now remember we said we had two groups of people different, or they was divided. When is he satisfied with us? After we come to Christ.
When we are obedient.
Amen. Amen. God, remember, salvation is leading us. It's progressive. It never stops at the starting line. Starting line is that you are qualified to be delivered and to be changed. You have been justified. When I give my life to Christ, I'm justified. God wipes the slate clean and says, from this day forward, I don't remember any of your sins. Now, you start this life and you go forward, not backwards. He said, I've forgotten it. As far as east is from the west, this is what God says, I've forgotten it. Your slate is clean, not guilty. So now that we're justified, he says, you're now qualified to be sanctified, which means to be delivered from the residue of sin, from the wrong mindset. You remember I said our body, soul, and spirit were tainted with the ways of the world? So the purpose of the Spirit is he has the correcting power. You know, there are some upbringings, ways that I, bad habits, bad thoughts, bad things that I was taught as a child, or seeds were planted that were wrong, and the Spirit's job is to put to death everything that's not like Christ and to give me life to overcome and to be Christ-like. They refuse, these group of people here in the wilderness, refuse to enter into that rest, meaning they you have to stop trying to make God do things according to the way you think it should be. They wanted meat out there. They said, we tied it, you know, we in Egypt, we had all this. And God said, okay, give them meat. And he said, while the meat was between their teeth, they were destroyed. Some of them were destroyed. See what I'm saying? We have to learn to rest and allow his ways, his thoughts to be infused in our life. He's putting in us a will and a desire to do of his good pleasure. But I have to learn to rest in him. See? Amen. I have to learn to trust him, because it is God who's working in us. And what I can do is I can frustrate the grace of God. That's what they did in essence. They frustrated God's grace from giving or imparting his life to them to be able to overcome the wilderness in order to enter into Canaan. They didn't make it. They couldn't overcome. We're in this life, and there are many obstacles we're going to have to face in life, all of us. There are different things that we go through, but the trials will make you and I strong. Remember, David was watching the sheep, put in charge as a teenage boy of watching his father's sheep. He did his best, and when a lion came, he said, he overcame it. And all that was by trusting in God, and that's the purpose of showing us childlike faith. When a bear came, he took the bear out, okay, all by the Spirit of God. Now, each challenge gets harder in this Christian walk. But at the same time, your strength, when we are weak, God becomes strong. Why? Because we're trusting and relying on his life, the tree of life. He's imparting to us his life to overcome. So the next thing that David had to face was Goliath. He thought he walked. His dad said, hey, go take your brothers. Go see how the war is going against the Philistines, and take your brothers some cheese. He had older brothers. David said, okay, minding his business. And he hears the taunts of this giant. It's probably over 9 feet tall, okay? And he's like, what's going on? Who's going to fight him? And Goliath's like, hey, send me a challenger. I'll destroy him. He was defying God of Israel. And David was like, what's the deal? And all of Israel, even the king, were hidden and shaken with fear. And he says, what's the reward? Who's going to go fight him? Hey, what's going on? And so he volunteered to go fight a little teenage boy. And the king's like, okay, put my armor on and go fight. And David tried it on and was like, it's too heavy. I can't fight. We cannot trust in the arm of the flesh. We cannot trust in man's natural ability. David went in the energy and the power of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit directed him. See, to the mind of the natural man, it would be stupid to go get a rock. Mm-hmm. We want to see, the first thing Saul said, what King Saul said, put my armor on. And the armor weighed so much more than David, he couldn't walk in. He was a teenage boy. David took it off and did as the Spirit directed him and got the rocks, okay? The Holy Spirit, you see, Christ is the rock of our salvation.
Yes.
He's a stone that the builders rejected. He's not embraced by the natural man or the man of the world system that looks to his natural energy and strength. See, in the mind of the world, people will think you crazy. But in the mind of God, when we rely and trust in him, he took that rock, and when he swung it, the Spirit of God directed it to the right spot, and the giant fell.
Amen.
And David cut his head off. What am I saying? Even though the trials get harder, God's power, greater is he that's in you and I than he that's in this world. Y'all see this?
Amen.
And what Paul was trying to convince these Christians was, you're going to have to take and trust in the living God. Don't stagger in unbelief. Don't get caught up in what you're seeing. Don't base things upon your emotions because you're fearful. God has a power source that's greater than your thoughts, greater than your mind, and he can take you through it. You see this?
Yeah.
So he's encouraging them, don't do like the Israelites in the wilderness. God refused to allow them to enter into Canaan, which was a type of rest. It was symbolic of our Sabbath rest. He did not allow them to enter. Why? Because of unbelief, which is the same as disobedience. So verse 19, read that for me.
So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
You see that? Unbelief is the greatest sin and the greatest hindrance to the life of the sinner and the Christian.
Amen.
See this? So verse chapter 4, he's telling us, don't be like these Israelites in in the wilderness. They were not overcomers. The whole point of you and I being or living in this Christian life is to be overcomers, not to be overtaken. Satan, as a roaring lion, the Bible tells us, walks around seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible tells us that we are to resist him how? By being steadfast in what?
In our faith?
Yes, steadfast in the faith. Faith has to be defined. It's faith in Christ and what he accomplished at the cross. That's where, remember, God was and is satisfied with Christ and what he did at Calvary. Not him being a healer, not him being a miracle worker. See, we're not demeaning that, but victory didn't come through that. It came through Christ walking in obedience, encountering the suffering, the beatings, being despised, put to shame, being whipped, and then crucified. All of that was the humiliation. Remember, the prophecy was given in the book of Genesis that the serpent would bruise his heel, but Christ, the seed of the woman, would crush his head. The seed of the woman was Christ.
Amen.
Okay? So you and I are going to encounter these things, the same things that Christ encountered, but the same spirit, listen to this, and this is very powerful, the same spirit that led Christ, the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, guess where he is? Amen. And we can't overcome a cold. We can't overcome somebody calling me a name or being mad at us. We can't overcome they mistreated me. Y'all see this? This power resides in you and I. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. All right, any questions before we go further? I'm going to go to chapter 4. And it's just a continuation of chapter 3. Any questions?
That was, a spiritual awakening. We can't overcome nothing, but we have the power in us.
Amen.
Wow. Jesus.
Yes. This is what Paul was telling them. You have the power. You're on the verge of giving up on this power that's in you. See, at least those folks in the wilderness, they didn't have the Spirit of God residing in them for the work of sanctification. Why? Because the cross had not been completed. So the Spirit couldn't come into anybody in the Old Testament until, now he was there working upon them. He came upon them to do a work or what have you, but he couldn't do the work of sanctification until after the cross. So these believers had the power of the Spirit of Christ in them. And they could overcome. And we're the same today. We're fine as long as everything going well. But let something happen. This is when then we start seeing we're no different than what these folks right here were experiencing. You see?
Yeah.
And so this is why we have to. There's a reason why he put it there, put it here in the scriptures, because it's a warning to us as well. And so chapter 4, verse 1, let's start right there.
Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
So we see here, he's telling us, let us fear, therefore, lest a promise been left of entering into his rest. So at that time, when in verse 15 of chapter 3, notice he says, today, if you will hear or hear his voice, do not harden your voice. Back then, the promise was shut of entering into rest. The door was shut. The window was shut because they refused to believe. God's letting us know today that that door has been opened through Christ. Okay?
Amen.
That door of has been opened to enter into his rest again. Now, remember, it's talking about Christ as our Sabbath rest and the millennial rest that will soon happen after the rapture of the church, when the overcoming saints, only those, see, this is why it's such a warning, let us fear, because only the overcoming saints are going to rule and reign in the millennium. Remember, he said, if you suffer with me, you shall reign with me. Okay? Suffering simply means we're going to encounter hardship, just like we said with the example of David and some of the others. But you're suffering because you don't have to go to the cross like Christ suffered. Our suffering is the fact that we have to learn how to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God through the trials he has allowed to come our way. Okay? So Paul went into the city and he preached the gospel. And because the religious people from whom he came out from, remember, he was a Pharisee. He was in line to take over. Well, when he had an encounter with Christ and he was knocked off his horse and blinded, he gave his life to Christ, right? He was on his way to kill Christians, was knocked off, and boom, had a spiritual encounter. Well, after that, the very people that he was working with to kill Christians started coming after him to persecute and kill him. And so this was the suffering. So he would go to a city and preach the gospel and people get saved. And every place he go, those folks follow him, trying to kill him. Okay? It was a religious world system. It was the same people or same type people that killed Christ or had him crucified. And so that's telling us we're going to encounter persecution, but it's not a reason to say, I give up and I don't want to have this Christian walk. Because why? The power source in you is much greater. God is developing you and I not to be weak in this world system, but to stand under his mighty hand, and he's going to produce character. And what this does is, it compels, the world is waiting for somebody. The world is looking. Y'all don't believe that? The people of the world, they're looking at Christians to see what we're going to do in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of trials. They want to see, because the world is under the control of Satan. The world has to bow. It's under the slavery, the bondage of Satan. He's the ruler of this world system. How did he become that? Through the fall. Remember, man was given dominion of the earth. But Satan tricked man and usurped man, and he's the ruler of the God. The Bible says the God of the world system, little g. He's not the God of the world, the system of this world, that which we see. The lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, all this stuff on TV, the entertainment, all this stuff is controlled by Satan. These governments is controlled. So you and I have to see things the right way. So what happens? When we stand up, the world is looking. They're under heavy oppression and bondage. They're looking for a way out. And when those who are Christians fall under the same system, they're like, man, I thought it was something to them. I thought they had some power. I thought they could resist. See, almost every person that was persecuting, you think about it, you go back to the 1500s when Martin Luther and John Huss, the world system, which includes the religious church world system, had called true saints witches, had them hung, had them killed, had them burned at the stake. They tried to silence or put the Bible out. They didn't want nobody, none of the common people, to have a proper understanding of the Word of God. So they called it the Dark Ages because the Word of God was almost completely shut out. They had the Bible printed. The Catholic Church at that time had the Bible printed in Latin where nobody could read it. And you had to trust the priest. And so some men were compelled by God, the John Huss, the William Tyndale. They were raised up by God to translate the Bible into English. And some of them were burned at the stake and they were killed. See this? Then God brought along the printing press because they were doing this by hand. Then the printing press, some of these inventions came along, and along with the inventions, it helped to propel the gospel. You see what I'm saying? So the gospel, when they had back when Paul and them was walking, some of the places Paul didn't get to go to until new roads were created. You see what I'm saying? The paths were cut, and they laid down roads. So the new inventions and all these different things, it also aided the furtherance of the gospel. See this? God has a way of using things for his purposes.
Yes.
And so this is why we have to take advantage of that which God has made available. So with Paul now being able to travel, because the gospel wasn't able to get to certain places until these nations came and they cut these roads and da-da-da-da-da. Then Paul, upon his death, he appealed to Caesar because they were the Jews were trying to get him handed over to them to crucify, and God had told him he needed to get the gospel to Rome. Had Paul not gotten to Rome, we would not have the gospel preached to the Western civilization. It was because of the Apostle Paul. What am I saying? Although the hardships may come, although the circumstances, God has a purpose that outweighs what we think.
Amen.
Sometimes it looked like, oh, ain't nothing been accomplished. But those men that were compelled by the Spirit of God to write the Bible, the reason why you have this Bible in your hand today is because men and women sacrificed their lives to get it to us. And the Apostle Paul was beheaded to get the gospel preached in the western part of the world. Y'all see what I'm saying? We take it for granted. We don't take advantage of that which they accomplished for us and on our behalf. But men and women, a lot of things that we get free comes at a great price. And God makes a way, and he will use our lives to be an influence in this world system because there are many people bound by sin, bound by lust. They have no way out in their minds. And until we show up, people will have hope in the living God.
Yes.
Y'all see this? Religion can't do it, can't deliver them. They need to see, just like Christ made a way to get to that well and showed up with a woman that had five husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't concerned about how many husbands she had. We would have been like, ooh, child. See, but his love for her, he knew that if he can get her with the right object of faith, that he could heal her and cause her to leave all, forsake all for him. You see what I'm saying? So when we have an encounter with Christ, a true encounter, it will cause you to leave the lifestyle, to leave the sin, to leave everything just to gain Christ. Amen. And this is what he's telling these Christians. If your love for Christ, don't worry about the persecution. Don't worry about what this church is doing to you. Many men and women have laid down their lives for the cause of Christ. And it's a win-win situation. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be in his presence. But if you live, we will live to declare his works. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
Satan cannot hold it over our heads. We will do the will of God, whether I'm in this life or in his presence.
Yes.
Amen. So here, and I got to see how many questions or comments. So here we see that the Apostle Paul, now he's in chapter 4. We're in chapter 4. And he says, he warns them, fear lest therefore a promise being left of entering into his rest. Now, remember we said this really refers to three types of rest, but here it references the two. The Sabbath rest or the church life that we have when we come to Christ, we are resting in him. And then the millennial rest for the overcomers who will ultimately reap the harvest of the full rest or a fuller rest. And the last rest is when the new heaven and the new earth comes down, when all the saints will partake, everything will be permanent. He will conquer death, hell, and the grave. No more Satan, nothing. Okay, that's the final rest where God's kingdom comes down on earth. Okay, heaven comes down on earth. So he says here in verse 2. Did we read that one?
Yeah,
we did.
Again?
Yes, please.
For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
All right. So remember, faith has to be mixed with the word. I can't just, if I just read it and there's no faith with it, then it's just words. If it doesn't affect my living and my lifestyle, and you see what I'm saying? It doesn't convict and compel, then it's just words. We have to mix faith with the word, because otherwise you and I will stay in the wilderness of our mind. We'll stay stuck. We'll stay stuck in the cycle, and we won't cross over to where Christ is. Christ was not in Judaism. It pointed to Christ in the Old Testament, but he fulfilled it after the New. See that? So they were going backwards. Let's keep going.
For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works.
Now, remember we were talking about in the beginning, we kind of went over this already with this part. God was satisfied, so he rested. Sabbath rest is simply God being satisfied. Resting is God being satisfied, so he rests. So we said the satisfaction that God has for us is in Christ. He's satisfied with Christ. We rest when we come to Christ. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is a rest for our spirit, for our when we come to Christ, okay? So it says, this Sabbath rest is Christ as our rest, typified by the good land of Canaan. Christ is rest to the saints in three stages. In the church age, as the heavenly Christ, the one who rests from his work and sits on the right hand of God in the heavens. He is the rest to us in our spirit. And that's Matthew 11:28-29. In the millennial kingdom, after Satan is removed from this earth, Christ with the kingdom will be the rest in a fuller way to the overcoming saints who will be his co-kings, sharing and enjoying his rest. That is in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, Revelation 20, verses 4 and 6. And in the new heaven and new earth, after all the enemies, including death, the last enemy, have been made subject to him, 1 Corinthians 15:24 through 27, Christ as the all-conquering one will be the rest in the fullest way to all God's redeemed for eternity. But in this scripture here, the Sabbath rest mentioned here and typified by the rest of the good land of Canaan covers only the first two stages of Christ being our rest. So what he's telling them is that you and I have to rest in Christ. That's what they were already saved, okay? So in order to partake of this second rest, which was the millennial, they needed to learn to overcome. So the Canaan Christians or Israelites did not enter into the wilderness Christians did not enter into the land of Canaan, which was a type of Christ. They were saved, but they didn't overcome. And it's trying to portray the same thing here. These saints in the book of Hebrews were saved, but did not overcome, so they could not enter into, they will not enter into the millennial rest. The same way that the Israelites in the wilderness did not enter into the Canaan rest. You see the correlation? That's why he put it here. He's doing a comparison to show them. He says, for we who have believed, we enter into rest, even as he said, verse 3, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works of creation was completed from the foundation of the world. Verse 5, Sister Cherry?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief.
Okay, so it's talking about those Christians that were in the wilderness. They could not enter. Now, why couldn't they enter? Remember, we're going back to the Sabbath rest, when Christ first, when God rested after creation, the creation rest, put it that way. He rested because he was satisfied with man. Man was in his image, ready to be for God to express himself through him. Remember, by partaking of his life, the tree of life. That was God's purpose and goal. It got sidetracked. So God still says today that purpose and goal is available today if you will hear his voice. Okay? So what he's saying is, me as a Christian, I give my life to Christ. I am now ready to partake of this tree of life, the life that God was going to impart to Adam and Eve had they partaken of the tree of life. If I partake through Christ. That's why he says, eat my flesh, drink my blood daily by faith. See this? As I progress through these different stages of my salvation experience, I will enjoy Christ, and it causes me to move from one state to another. Now, we're going to stop on this part right here, but I want to read this. It says here, God's full salvation, which he intended for the children of Israel, included redemption through the Passover lamb, the exodus from Egypt, feeding on the heavenly manna, having their thirst quenched by the living water from the cleft rock, and partaking of the good land of Canaan. All the children of Israel shared in the Passover lamb, the heavenly manna, and the living water, but only Joshua and Caleb, out of those who shared the exodus from Egypt, entered into the good land and partook of it. And all the rest fell in the wilderness. That's in Numbers chapter 14, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 11. It says, though all were redeemed, only the two overcomers, Joshua and Caleb, received the prize of the good land. See that?
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's telling us. We got to learn to enjoy the different aspects of Christ in our Christian journey. when I start murmuring, complaining, and being bitter and about what's going on with me in this life, that means I'm not enjoying or partaking of the Passover lamb or of the living water. See that?
Amen.
I'm stuck. And all he's saying, you got to, what he was saying to these Christians here, you need to enter in. Don't harden your heart. Don't get stuck by your bitter experience. Don't get stuck by sin and its deceitfulness. You need to trust Christ. Stop looking at your circumstances and follow and enjoy him. So it doesn't matter. See, even though we're in this life, this is why Christ could say in closing in John 16:33, he said, in this life you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Why? Because when you and I learn to partake of him in these different aspects as the Passover lamb, as the living water, the heavenly manna, the good land of Canaan, you'll learn all these different aspects of Christ. See, we have to see him in different ways and learn how to appropriate his life in our lives through our different circumstances to make us overcomers.
Man.
That's what this whole experience was about. And he's telling them, you're on the verge of not entering into rest. Your life will be a miserable, bitter Christian life, saved but not able to overcome. And on that note, I'm going to have to close. We'll take questions and comments at the end of the call. So those on the line, just hold on and we'll get your questions. But we want to say thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We pray that we said some things. I know some stuff was said clumsily, but hopefully the message came across properly. And but we just pray that we said something that will help you in your Christian walk. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.